All right, it's good to see everybody. I want to thank y'all for coming and being a part of our study today, our Spiritual Enrichment Hour. I do want to remind you all that if you need a Bible, please see one of the administrators there at the hospital. We have left Bibles there for you, and all you have to do is ask for one. We'd love for you to keep one, to have one, and all we ask is that you read it if you get a chance. God's Word is able to give us things that this world is simply not able to give us hope and peace and love. And so please make sure that you're in His Word, not only here in this time of spiritual enrichment, but on your own time. Open up His Word, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed. So today, this morning, we're going to be in the book of Psalms, And as we spoke before, the book of Psalms is a book of songs that they were intended to be sung by the children of Israel. And today we're going to be in Psalms 91. The title of our lesson is called God, Our Refuge and Fortress. God, Our Refuge and Fortress. And so what we'll do, we'll pray and then we'll read the scriptures together and talk about what we've read. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your word. My prayer is that for all of those who hear this, that you will open our ears, our minds, and our lives to this truth. Help us to receive this truth. Help us to believe this truth. And help us to walk in this truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Psalms 91. God is my refuge and my fortress. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, you are my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions. And under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrows that fly by the day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge, no evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all of your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, and the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. We live in a world today where there's a lot of uncertainty. And it is only through the promises of God, through the truth of God's word, that we can actually find hope, that we can find something that we can rely on that will not let us down. And in today's psalm, in Psalm 91, we are learning that God is our refuge and our fortress. Our creator, the one who created the creation, is in control of all creation. And as his children, as those who put their trust in him, we always can know that we can rely on him for safety and comfort and peace and hope. And so the first thing we want to do is define what a refuge and a fortress are. Well, a refuge is simply a safe place. It is a place that you can go to be safe. We live here in the Savannah area. We have a place over in Hardeeville, South Carolina, called the Savannah Wildlife Refuge. And every year, as the migratory birds come flying from up north, they fly down south, headed south for the winter. And every year they swing in there at 95 and Highway 17 and pull into the wildlife refuge. Well, why do they do that? Well, they know that they're safe there. There's food provided for them there, and there's also no hunters going to shoot them. And so they know that they have a safe place that they can go to, a refuge, a place of safety. A refugee would be someone who is what? Someone who is fleeing to safety, away from danger and to safety. And so God is our refuge. He is also our fortress. And what is a fortress? A fortress is a walled enclosure that is to provide privacy and protection and security. When we were kids, we used to make forts. I can't tell you the number of times that me and my friends would would find some old pallets, some wood somewhere, and we'd go out into the woods with a bunch of nails and a hammer, and we would build us a fort, right? We would go out and build us a fort, a little place we'd put a sign on that said, no girls allowed, and that's where we boys would go and be boys. And when we were kids, we would stay at our grandparents' house, and we would always get some sheets and put them over the coffee tables and over the couches, and we would have us a fort. A fort is a walled place that provides one protection and safety and comfort. And so what this psalm is teaching us is that when we run to God, when we run from sin and self, when we run from the dangers of this world, when we run to God, He is our refuge and our fortress. In verse 91, chapter 91, verse 1, it says, He who dwells in the shelter of the Almighty will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, that is God our Creator, will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. Have you ever heard the old saying, you got it made in the shade? What does that mean? It means that as I sit under the tree, the shade from the tree protects me from the sun. Well, in the same way, God is our shelter. He covers us and He protects us from the things of this world. He is my refuge and my fortress. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. We need to understand that what the psalmist is doing here is proclaiming that he is trusting in God alone. He is trusting in God alone. My God in whom I trust. And what you and I need to understand is that our relationship with God is something that is personal. We must know God and God must know us. It is an intimate relationship between the believer and the God who created him. And so the psalmist is happily proclaiming that he is trusting and that there is this personal relationship between him and God, my God. And so the question I leave you with this morning is, what is it that you trust in? Who is your God? What is it in this world that gives you comfort? What is it in this world that gives you hope, that gives you peace? In verse 3 it says, He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. The snare of the fowler. A fowler is someone who catches birds. A fowler is someone who catches birds. And so what the fowler would do was he'd spread a bunch of bait on the ground and he would wait for the birds to come and eat the corn or the bait. And while they were sitting there eating the bait, he would throw a net over them and he would take and put them in cages and carry them into the town and sell them for food, for pets and whatnot. A fowler is someone who catches birds. And in you and I instance, it is the devil. It is Satan himself who is the fowler. He hates you and he hates me. And he hates God. And he does anything that he can within his power to destroy the things that God has placed his affection upon. Now we know that by trusting in God, we don't have to worry about that. But the fowler is definitely trying to harm those who are love God and those who are called according to his purpose. And we need to understand that without that personal relationship with God, without that personal knowledge of God, without that personal salvation of God, then we are exposed to the fowler's snares. Even as children of God, it is very likely that we at times will fall into temptations and sin. And so we need to understand that God protects us from the snare, the trap of the fowler. And please, you've got to believe me. The devil has been fooling us ever since our great-great-great-great-grandparents were around. When Adam and Eve was around, he tricked them. And he tricked your parents and your grandparents and your great-grandparents. And he knows you. He knows what pushes your buttons. He knows what gets you your mind in the wrong places. And he definitely is constantly setting snares to trap us and to keep us from enjoying the things of God. So beware and trust in God because he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and of the deadly pestilence, right? What is the pestilence? Sickness and disease. It is amazing to me how much fear is prevalent in the world right now. I do not want to make light of the things that are going on in this world. There are a lot of people getting sick and there are a lot of people dying. But it is wrong as children of God for you and I to fear something that we cannot control. We need to put our trust in God's hands. We need to trust in the fact that He is God and that He will take care of us, and His will be done. We need to stop living in fear and walk in God's truth. Now, that doesn't mean that we need to run around licking doorknobs and acting crazy. We need to be careful, but we also need to trust in God and stop listening to a world who has no answers that we need. So it says, He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. One of my favorite passages in the Bible. He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you will find refuge. When I was a child, I grew up on a farm, and we used to have chickens, and it was funny to watch the old mama hen. She'd be walking around out in the field, walking around and scratching and pecking and knocking up little grasshoppers and bugs and whatnot. And all of those little baby chickens would be running around their mother and running out in the field and running around. And she would be collecting food for them, and they would just be acting like little chickens. But that mom had a little cluck that she could make if there was danger around. And we used to have these things, well, we still do, called red-tailed hawks. Chicken hawks loved to sit up on the fence posts out in the field. And they would fly over, and at times that shadow of that bird would pass over that mom hen. And that mother hen made a certain little noise. I don't want to even try to attempt to do that for you now. But she would make this noise, and by making that noise, it was a warning to her babies that there was danger. And so what that mother hen would do was she would open her wings up, and all of those babies would run and get up under her wings, and she would sit down on top of those babies. Well, what is she doing? She's protecting them. If someone's going to get got, that's not proper English, but if someone's going to get got, it's going to be the mother. That mother is willing to lay down her life for her chicks. And so she would make this noise, and all the babies would come and get under her wings. It says in this passage in verse 4, He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you will find refuge. Those pinions are those outer tip, the wings on the outer tip of the feathers on the outer tip of the wing of a bird. So what it means is He completely encompasses us in His love and in His grace and His mercy. He will cover us with His pinions, and under His wings you will find refuge. Now, what we need to understand is the Bible is the literal Word of God. But in the literal Word of God, we also use metaphors, and we use similes, and we use like and as ways to compare the things of the Creator to the things in the creation. And we use things in creation to help us to understand the Creator. And so we know that God does not have feathers. But what it's saying is that He covers us, He encompasses us, He wraps us in His arms, and He protects us. And how does He do that? Well, the greatest expression of that was when His Son, Jesus Christ, spread His wings, spread His arms on a cross and took a death that we deserve so that we could have a life we could never earn. And the Bible teaches us that in the same way that that mother hen shouts out those warnings to her children and her chicks, and they come and run and get under her wings, in the same way, throughout time, God has sent His prophets, He sent preachers and messengers to proclaim the warning to this world that God's wrath is upon it, and that we are to flee the wrath to come, and we are to run to Christ and run to the work that He has done on the cross. And what does He do? He covers us in His wings. He protects us and He keeps us safe. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. What does it mean to be faithful? Someone who is faithful does what they say that they will do, in thought, word, and action. And what we do know about God is that He always keeps His promise. His faithfulness, His steadfast love is always there. It is a shield, right, and a buckler. A shield would be something that would protect you from flying objects, and a buckler would be something that would keep your pants up so that they wouldn't fall and you get embarrassed. And so what does that mean? By trusting in God's truth, by trusting in His Word, I am always protected from the lies, from the falsehoods, from the darkness, the death, and the hate. I'm protected from those things. He is my shield and He is my buckler. I can stand confident in the fact that God is truth, and that as I have His truth, I can stand in that truth, and that truth will never change. He is my shield and my buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrows that fly by day. the terrors of the night. How often have we laid in our bed and tossed and turned at night and worried about what tomorrow is going to bring? Or worried about the boogeyman in the closet? Or worried about things that we have no control over? God will protect us from the terrors of the night. Or the arrows that fly by day. Now, in the world that we live in today, there's not many arrows flying around. I do have friends that hunt deer with arrows, but we don't have a whole lot of arrows flying around in our neighborhoods these days. But it says here that he will protect us from the arrows that fly by day. And we do learn in the New Testament that the enemy is always casting these fiery darts to try to hurt us and to harm us. So these flying objects are things that can come into our life and bring destruction and bring hurt and bring sickness and bring disease. And this is telling us that he protects us. He is our shield and our buckler. I do not have to fear the terrors of the night, nor the arrows that fly by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. God protects us. He keeps us safe. 1,000 may fall at your right side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. We need to understand that God is sovereign, and God has a decree, and God has a plan that has been in place since before the foundation of the world. Before the creation of the world, God's plan for you and I was already in place. God's work, his will be done. His kingdom will be established. And as you look around you and you see a world that you think is falling apart all around you, please understand that God is in control. And nothing is going to happen outside of his will or his desires for our life. And so we see it says 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. We have to focus on the fact that God is our God and that he protects us. And that anything that happens to me in my life, anything, whatever it might be, sickness or disease or pain or suffering or loss, anything, hopes being fulfilled, dreams coming to fruition, anything like that that happens in my life is a part of God's plan. And what you and I as his children need to do is to recognize and understand that God is good. And whatever happens is for our good and for his glory. And when we're going through struggles in life, guys, that's a hard thing to see. But we need to understand, as it tells us in Romans, that we know, who's we? The believers. We know that all things work for good to those that love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. No matter what happens in our lives, God is in control. And this tells us that he will protect us from pestilence and darkness and destruction, that we will see our enemies fall around us. There's a war going on right now between good and evil, and we already know that good wins. We already know how the story ends. And what you and I need to understand is that God is God, and as his children, we can trust in the fact that he has our best interests at heart. And whatever happens in our lives, we don't have to fear. We don't have to live in fear or doubt, or we don't have to live in sadness and sorrow, because even the bad things that happen in our life happen for our good and his glory. And so we have to learn to trust him. We have to learn to be within the walls of his fortress. We have to learn to allow him to protect us in any means he sees fit to protect us. And so it says, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place. This is verse 9. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High is my refuge, no evil will be allowed to befall you. No plague will come near your tent. Now, there's a condition in that, and I want you to see that condition because it is very important. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place. What does that mean? There is a recognition, a consciousness of the fact that I am his and he is mine. There is a relationship, a two-way relationship going on there where God has saved me and I have recognized that I am his child and I have willingly chosen to walk in his purposes and his plan. Now, in my own strength, I could never do that. But through his grace and through the power of his Holy Spirit, I have the willingness and the desire to walk in His ways. And it says, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, because I am within His covenant, because I am within His plan for me, then I can trust that no evil will be allowed to befall me and that no plague will come near my tent. You and I have to understand that if we willingly refuse the salvation of God, if we reject His salvation, these promises are not ours. We also need to understand that even as His children, there's a tendency on our part to walk away from His goodness and His grace, and to walk away from His protection, and to walk away from His faithfulness, and to walk away from those things and turn our backs on Him. And guys, we need to understand that God is a holy, holy, holy God, and that we, in rejecting Him or walking away from Him, we don't have the right to claim these promises. You have to be walking in His will and His ways in order to be able to claim these promises. Let's look in verse 11, 12, and 13. This is another really interesting thing. I love this passage. It says, He will command His angels concerning you, and they will guard you in all of your ways, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, and the young lion and the serpent, and you will trample them under your feet. The reason I enjoy this passage is because if you go into the New Testament, if you jump ahead about 800, 900 years, 700, 800 years, you'll find that Jesus is, and this is Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is led into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And we know that the first temptation, the devil said, you hadn't eaten anything in 40 days. If you really are the Son of God, turn these rocks here, turn these rocks into bread. And what did Jesus do? Jesus replied, and He did not even acknowledge the if clause that the devil threw at Him. He knows who He is, and He does not have to do anything to prove who He is. But what does He do? The devil tempts Jesus into satisfying his hunger by using His power as the Son of God to turn bricks into bread. And what does Jesus say? He says, man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So what does Jesus do? Jesus quotes the book of Deuteronomy back at the devil. He quotes the word of God, the truth of God, at the devil, and the devil has no reply. So what does the devil do next? Well, the devil takes him and tempts him two more times. One of the temptations is that he wants Jesus to bow down and worship him. And what does Jesus say? He said, if you'll bow down and worship me, I'll give you all of this. And what does Jesus say? Jesus quotes the book of Deuteronomy again, or Exodus. He says, you shall worship the Lord your God, and Him alone shall you serve. So Jesus is using Scripture to refute the devil's accusations and the devil's temptations. But watch what the devil does. In verse 5 of chapter 4 of Matthew, it says this. The devil took Him to the holy city and set Him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to Him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, He will command His angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. So Jesus quotes Scripture at the devil, and what does the devil do? The devil turns right back around and quotes Scripture back at Jesus. He says, if you really are the Son of God, jump down here from here and let me see the angels catch you, because you have a promise. If you really are the Son of God, you have a promise that the angels will catch you and you will not even hurt your foot on a stone. So show me that you have that promise. Jump off of this tower here and let me see the angels catch you. And what is interesting about that is what? The devil is, how does Jesus reply to that? Jesus says what? You shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Do not put God to the test. And he quotes Scripture back at the devil again. But the interesting thing about that is the devil has quoted Psalms 91. Look at what it says in Psalm 91:11. He will command His angels concerning you and guard you in all of your ways, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. The devil has actually quoted verbatim the Word of God. And guys, you and I need to understand that. The devil knows the Word of God better than we do. And sadly, he believes it more than we do. He knows that hell is coming for him. He believes God's Word. He rejects it and rebels against it, but he knows it's true. And what he does is he tries to take God's words and twist those words around and use them to bring temptation into our lives. And this is a great example of that. But look what it says in verse 13, because the devil stopped quick on his quote, didn't he? He said, "For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you on your ways, and on their hands they will bear you up lest you strike your foot against a stone." But the devil stopped his quote there, because the rest of the quote says this: "You will tread on the lion and the adder, and the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot." Now, we know in the very beginning of the Bible that the prophecy is that the seed of the woman would crush the serpent's head, that the serpent would bruise his heel, but he would crush the serpent's head. And so the devil don't want to bring up that part of the passage. He don't want to bring up the part of the passage where the very foot of Jesus is going to crush his head one day. He don't want to talk about that at all. And so I find that very interesting, that the devil is very good at quoting Scripture, but he also quotes that Scripture and twists that Scripture in a way where he can use it to tempt us and to cause us to fall. And so you and I need to make sure that we understand the Word and that we're allowing the Spirit of God to reveal the Word of God to us, and that we're walking in His truth and abiding in His truth. We know that truth, and we share that truth and live that truth and think that truth. What did David say in the Psalms? He said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God." Allow God's Word to be your protection, your shield, your fortress, to protect you and watch over you. We'll finish up with this last passage here in verse 14, 15, and 16. It says, "Because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. And with a long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation." Now, it says, "Because he holds fast to me, because he knows my name." The reality is you and I, we fall short of knowing Him, of holding fast to Him. But the one that did know His name, and the one that did hold fast to Him, was His Son, Jesus Christ. And so He says, "Because He holds fast to me in love, I will deliver Him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. And with a long life, I will show him my salvation." And so that promise can be yours and ours if we are in Christ. If we have trusted in Jesus Christ, who these promises were poured out upon, then Christ becomes our refuge and our fortress. Do you know him as your Lord and Savior? Have you ever turned from sin and self and turned to the one who could save you? These promises, the promise that God is my refuge and my fortress, are for the children of God. And if you are out there today and you have never trusted him, turn away from sin, turn away from self, turn away from self-righteousness, self-sufficiency, and self-will, and turn to the one who created you. Turn to the one who loved you enough to send his son to die on a cross to save a broken person like me and you. So let's close in a quick word of prayer. Father, thank you for your hope. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for your promises. And my prayer is that you will give us all the strength to turn to those promises, to receive those promises and believe those promises and walk in those promises. We thank you again for all that you do, especially for sending your son Jesus Christ to save us, in whose name we pray. Amen.